You want to go in the
chat
room?
Radio.
You want to go to the chat room?
Everybody under the sound of my voice. Right now we're just going to worship God. I don't care what you're going through. Let's just saturate the place with worship. Let's saturate your cars, your houses. Offer it up to Him right now. Whatever you're dealing with, just give it to Him right now. I guarantee you in this moment, if you give it up, He will give it to you.
Oh,
He's an awesome God. God, we love you. And we reverence your name, Jesus. There's nobody like you. God, we submit. Hallelujah.
The views of callers expressed on this broadcast does not reflect Enterprisement Media Group staff management. However, with our special guest, we are in full agreement. There will not be no defilement in this holy place. No defiled language. Violators will be terminated, disconnected, no questions asked. Let all things be done in decency and order. This is the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Amen. Welcome, everybody, to another broadcast, another Monday night. I trust you all are doing fine. I'm your host, Minister Faith Walker. We have an awesome show for you tonight, empowering, and this show is it empowers spiritually, financially, intellectually, also edification of the soul. Many of our special guests, they operate dimensionally, some multidimensionally. So just sit back and allow Spirit of the Lord just to minister to you as they just bear what's in their spirit and bear their journey about their mantle. This is what it's all about. Amen. We've got an awesome guest for you tonight. We're going to get into her in a few minutes. But right now we're going to go into a word of prayer. And we thank God on tonight. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, we know all things are possible by you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Lord God, we just take authority in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. We release your angels, Lord God, into the atmosphere, Lord God. Take authority, Lord God, over everything that's not like you, Lord God. Lord God, bring us into joint in one spirit. Let us connect with the anointing on tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Lord God, touch that person that is sitting, Lord God, at their computer, Lord God, iPad, airport, Lord God, driving, cell phones, Lord God, any technology device, Lord God, that you may be glorified in your people may be edified, Lord God. Let your people be quickened on tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Let the Spirit of God be between us, Lord God. And Lord God, take authority in your name, Lord God. You are, Lord God, Lord of Lord, King of Kings, Lord God. And we just praise you. We magnify you in Jesus' name. And now we connect with the Spirit of God in this line, on this place, on tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. We bless God on tonight. Amen. Like I said, you are joining to the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. The number for tonight, you take your pens and your pads. Amen. The number on tonight is 347-945-5416. For those of you who are around the world via internet, on the Blog Talk Radio site, you can just listen in, amen, and at the opportune time, as the Spirit of the Lord leads you, you can call in at 347-945-5416. You can just press 1 as we begin to talk to our special guest, which is none other than the New Testament Revelator, Prophetess LaTanya Smith from Alabama, amen, one of the Marketplace Prophets, amen. We are very excited to have her on tonight as we bring her on shortly. But amen. But first, we're going to get into our scripture reading by none other than our Vice President of Operations, none other than Prince Redeem, also known as Davon Nelson, at this time.
Good evening, everybody. How you doing, Prophetess?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to start at verse number 14. It says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." This I have read, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through verses number, chapter 5 through verses number 14, 16.
Amen. Let your light shine. Amen. Let your light shine. So we pray that the Spirit of the Lord will shine on you tonight in your respectable places. Now at this time, we'll bring forth Sister Letitia, amen, who is our worship and praise leader, also our newly crowned ambassador. Amen. And also special shout out to our New Covenant Ministries. Amen. And also Ambassador Cheryl Miller, who is also tuning in as well. God bless you, Mom. Love you always. In Jesus' name. But now at this time, we bring none other than Letitia at this time.
Amen. Jesus said, here I stand, won't you please let me in? And you said, I will tomorrow. Jesus said, I am he who supplies all your needs. And you said, I know, but tomorrow, I'll give my life. Tomorrow, I thought about today, but it is so much easier to say, tomorrow, who promised you tomorrow? Better choose the Lord today. For tomorrow very well might be too late. Jesus said, here I stand, won't you please take my hand? And you said, I will tomorrow. Jesus said, I am he who supplies all your needs. And you said, I know, but tomorrow, I thought about tomorrow. But it's so much easier to say tomorrow. But tomorrow very well might be too late. Please forgive me. Thank you.
Amen. Let them use you. Amen. There ain't no apologies for the Spirit. Amen. Let them use you. Amen. Amen. Let them use you. We bless God on the night. Amen. That was a wonderful song. Tomorrow. Amen. Give your life to the Lord on today in Jesus' name. Well, we're going to get right to it. Amen. I'm going to introduce our special guest for tonight. Amen. I often call Prophet Dewan Elijah of this time, Prophet Elijah of this time, often called Bishop Harold Rollinson. Who listen to R&B on this line? Listening in. You better put that stuff down. Amen. I also call him Bishop, amen, of Acts chapter 15, James. And I often call her New Testament Revelator of Apostle John, amen. I call no other than Prophet Latanya Smith. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that insight. Just was hearing you earlier today and was talking about that. And I'm a nurse, and I've been a nurse for 20 plus years now. So I was at work today, and during my lunchtime, you know, we were talking, and you said that. So I had to really, you know, meditate on that, the Revelator, John the Revelator, especially considering the trials that he endured and that he went through to be able to get the revelation that he received. Mm. So I had to chew on that a little bit today.
Amen. 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 Well, amen. I was surprised when the Lord gave me that revelation. Amen. Because he gave me a revelation on three of y'all at one time. Amen.
And, oh, amen, wow.
When you run across good people, amen, people who are serious about the kingdom of God, you like to stay close to people who are serious about the things of God. No shucking and jiving, no none of that stuff. It just, you know, definitely holding the word of God in this season. But I thank you for joining us on tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me tonight and just honoring the God in me, and I don't take it by happenstance to be on this line with you on tonight, even based on some details that you shared with me today. I knew that it was a God connection. It's a God. It's divine.
Amen. So why don't you tell us, where are you from originally? I know you're in Alabama right now, but is that where you're originally from?
Actually, I'm originally from Alabama, but I actually live in the Central Florida area. So actually, I'm in a little place called Winter Haven, Florida, that's sandwiched between Tampa and Orlando. So I'm 30 minutes from Tampa, and I'm 30 minutes from Orlando, and I'm in a county called, and it's called Polk County. And so I'm actually in Central Florida. So I'm actually about 3 hours from Jacksonville.
Okay, amen. So you a red clay person, red clay, Alabama, red clay.
Yes, sir, I am. Red clay, chalk eating, all of that.
You know, my mother always said they used to, they used to eat dirt. They used to eat dirt down there.
Chalk? Chalk, that's what she's talking about.
Lord have mercy. So who was your influence when you was growing up into the things of God? Who was your influence?
Ironically, I can honestly say that I truly, truly did not have a, in the traditional sense, really a Christian upbringing. My mom, she, you know, we did go to church. But I grew up Baptist, so I have Baptist roots, which I am very thankful for because I believe that's where I get the order and the structure and the organization from. So placed me in that position, and even at from a young age, even in church, I was in leadership. And so just from being the church, you know, the Sunday school secretary, you know, the treasurer, just different things. And so even just growing up, I was always in church leadership. I preached my first sermon at 13 in the Baptist church as a girl, as a female. And so but as far as any influence, I can honestly say I didn't have that because it wasn't until it wasn't until I actually got to be maybe a teenager that my mother began to come into the true things of God, to where she began to understand warfare and she began to, understand deliverance, because my background with the spirit realm is actually on the dark side, because my father's mother, my grandmother, was actually a witch. And so that's what I grew up with, you know, in Alabama. When I would visit for the summers and go back to Alabama, you know, everybody would joke and say, well, you know, your grandmother is a witch, you know, and that kind of stuff. And so that's what I grew up with. I grew up where the witchcraft that my grandmother placed on my mother actually almost killed her. She was within hours of dying. And so that, as a child, that was my experience that I had with spirituality, was more demonic than it was in the Christian realm, so to speak. And so we dealt with seeing demonic visions on the wall, you know, as children, and then we look, you know, we see them, and then we turn our heads or we blink, and, you know, and it would go away. You know, my mom almost dying, literally withering away before our eyes. And so that was what I dealt with. Probably, you know, from a spiritual standpoint, for probably the first 18 years of my life, and that was my experience.
Okay, amen. So what was the age when you kind of look back and realize God was kind of preparing you for your mantle? Like when you going through it, you might have, you know, we all lack understanding during our youth, but when, you know, now as you kind of sit back and you go through meditation, you're like, Lord, I can actually look back now and see where, you know, where it got to me to this point right now. Certain situations, you'd be like, I definitely see that. You have any moments that you recall as that?
I can honestly tell you, since we're talking about mantles, and I can honestly tell you that the pivotal moment for me when I realized that that God had was preparing me for all of these different things was I actually about probably about maybe 13 years ago, I ended up having a nervous breakdown. I ended up having a mental breakdown, and I was living in Palm Beach County at the time, and my mother was here in Winter Haven, Florida, in Polk County, and she sensed what was happening, and she drove to come see me, and it was at that point when she brought me back to Polk County on an emergency basis that I actually had to go through a very serious deliverance, and that's when I began to realize that, you know, all of those different things that we had experienced and I had experienced, that it was actually cultivating. It was actually cultivating me, and it was cultivating my mantle and bringing, you know, maturity to my mantle and defining my mantle with who, you know, who I was, because it, you know, what I distribute from my mantle even now is healing and it's wellness. You know, even my colleagues in ministry, they often call me the cutter because, you know, it just is what it is. And so because I learned with the enemy that you can't play with him. You can't play with how you speak to him. You can't play with how you handle him. You can't play with how you engage him. And so when I engage the people of God on any platform, whether it is prophetic ministry, whether it's teaching or whether it's preaching, usually I really come across quite abrasive, and I'm really the kind of person that either you love me or you hate me. There's really no in between, you know, with me, because most people can't digest a lot of times what comes out of my mouth. Because even Bishop Harrell, when he first heard me minister, he told Prophet Dwan, he said, I didn't know prophets were supposed to get up there and act like that, you know. So,
that sounds good.
Yeah, because I was kind of, you know, I'm kind of harsh. I really am. And so, and even when my husband and I were pastoring, you know, the saying was, you know, I would cut him and then he would have to get the Band-Aids and patch him up and, you know, put him back together again, because, you know, once I cut him, I was done, and that was his job as the pastor to come in, you know, and shepherd him and nurture him back together.
My Lord. Well, people of God, we on here with my sister, the New Testament, I call her Grandma, amen. New Testament Revelator, amen. Prophet LaTanya, amen. She got me going on that last statement, amen. Prophet is LaTanya Smith, amen. The number is 347-945-5416. If you want to get in on this call and be in the right spirit, please. Please be in the right spirit when you call up on here tonight. I'm just giving you a heads up. Okay. Amen. Amen. Let the church say amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So, so when did you exactly come to the faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We heard about your travels as far as the witchcraft and everything, you know, the forces that be in your family. So what's the point that you came to yourself like, I got to mount up? Was it a particular instance where you was under attack and you'd be like, okay, I know, you know what, I'm going to take refuge in the Lord. You know, you had that situation that was just the turning point.
I think as many of us have, I've had several instances where I had, you know, those where he takes you from glory to glory and faith for faith. You know, I can honestly say that, you know, I dedicated my life to the Lord, you know, as a young child, you know, in that, you know, at 12. And then as, you know, time would have it and life happens, you backslide, you digress from that, but you always hear the voice of the Lord. But one of the very pivotal points for me, and just making a complete turnaround, I was pregnant with my son, who's now 15. And this was actually my first time really coming into a place of even knowing, even having heard the prophet. Because mind you, I came up in a Baptist church, so I came up where when people spoke in tongues and came and visited the church, we all turned around like the exorcists and looked at them like something was wrong, got them, you know, and picked them up like there was a, you know, like a piece of trash and took them outside or told them to go to the bathroom or whatever. So I grew up in the midst of that. And so having not ever heard anybody prophesy, never having seen anyone receive a prophetic word, and never having received a prophetic word myself, I was a nurse at the jail at the time, and I'll never forget it. I called him the baby. So I was going upstairs on the 12th floor, and I was living in Palm Beach County, and I was working for the sheriff's department as a nurse, and going upstairs to see the kids and give them their medications and everything. And as I was walking out of the door, the sheriff that was in that dorm was actually a minister. And as I walked out the door, he told me, let me tell you about that baby boy that you carry in your belly. And here it was, nobody knew I was pregnant, not even my son's father knew I was pregnant. I wasn't showing, I wasn't anything. And the fact of the matter was, I wasn't even supposed to be to work at that time. They had actually called me in to come work. And so he began to minister to me about my life, and he began to minister to me about how, you know, and what proceeds out of your mouth. He said, your mouth and your voice is going to take care of you. He said, and you won't have to work for a man. You won't have to work in a secular arena to be taken care of. And so that was my first experience with even the prophetic, and coming into a place of now needed to understand who I was, first of all, as a woman of God, as a child of God, first of all. And then it began to evolve into really making a turnaround and making a stance for God, you know, that so much literally almost cost me my life, you know, in making that stance.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you one of the questions that I asked Prophet Dewan. I'm going to ask you a question. Can a pastor cover a prophet?
Oh boy!
Thought I forgot. Yeah, you thought I forgot about that question.
Well, once again, I'm going to answer. I'm going to answer it two ways. I'm going to answer it indirectly. I'll answer it directly. I tell everybody, I'm a preaching prophet. I am a diehard preacher, and so I don't know if you've ever really seen me preach before or minister before, but I am a diehard preacher, and I'm that way because my spiritual father, who launched me, is a diehard preacher, and so that DNA is lodged. That is what has been weaved into my mantle, is to be able to preach. The glitch in that is that not the pastoring element, not understanding the peculiarity of a prophet, because we're peculiar, we're standoffish, you know, we get quiet, we're loners, we like to do stuff by ourselves, you know, not to say that nobody else knows what they're doing. And so I would get dinged a lot for that. I would get criticized a lot for that, even by my pastor, my spiritual father, which I love him dearly, you know, but it was the lack of understanding who I was as a prophet, and being able to, and he recognizes the calling. He calls me prophetess to this day and recognizes who I am. But as far as really understanding that prophets needed to be trained in a different manner, just like ministers need to be trained and elders need to be trained and deacons and so on and so forth, that prophets need to be trained as well. And so not understanding that, you know, I was just about, it was almost like I was a preacher that prophesied and not a prophet that preached. And so then that was the pivotal thing, the key thing about meeting Prophetess Dawn and coming under GICMP, because under that, then I learned how to be the prophet. I learned how to walk in the office of the prophet and now be the prophet that preaches. And so I believe, just through my studies and through my travels, I believe that that a pastor can cover a prophet, but it's just that there has to be that willingness and that understanding of who that prophet is, and to be willing and able to allow that prophet to be able to mature and to blossom in their capacity and in their gifts. So now that takes a pastor who's not determined that he's going to do church, but that takes a pastor who's determined that he's going to do kingdom.
Amen, amen.
And takes a pastor that truly understands the movement of apostolic succession and the fivefold ministry and how all those things, you know, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, the apostle, the prophet, how all of those are going to articulate together to resemble the agenda of heaven.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to go there, prophetess. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of prophets that are coming up that are saying, and I know you ran across them, God will teach me everything I need to know. I don't need to sit. I don't need to sit underneath anybody.
Yeah.
God taught Jeremiah. He'll teach me. Matter of fact, God, I don't see who taught Elijah. Yeah, he'll teach me too. What do you think about these renegade prophets that are coming up? They're going out and they're just laying out unguided words into the atmosphere and haven't been conditioned to be led by the anointing. What is the dangers of that? Can you just explain the dangers of that for people who are, you know, getting revelation? They say, well, I'm a prophet, and I don't need to send anybody because God takes special care of me.
Well, I can honestly, and I'll talk about this because of the fact that I have been there. I have been that renegade prophet. And what happens with renegade prophets and renegade prophetics is that when you no longer feel like you need to be covered and you need to submit, just like you said, that is a rebellious place and that is a dangerous place. And so, because now when you feel like you no longer need to submit, then that means now you're operating in pride, the spirit of pride, you're operating in Leviathan, and you're operating in arrogance. And I was that person. And so when you get to a place, whether you're a prophet, whether you're any man or woman of God, and you come to that place where you feel like you don't need to be covered and you don't need to have a level of accountability that goes beyond you, then there has been a root of bitterness, first of all, that has entered in, and it's entered in through some form of church hurt or some form of offense. And see, that is the key thing about the body of Christ, that the spirit of offense has been killing the body of Christ for years. It's killing the body of Christ for decades, and you know, and especially in African American churches, offense and are killing us because they settle in and they offer and they put us in a position of bitter roots. And so now what happens as a prophet, because I can speak about this, my husband and I went through a tremendous time of church hurt, so much to the point where our marriage was in the divorce court because our marriage was buckling under the pressure of ministry. It was buckling under the pressure. Actually, it had buckled under the pressure of ministry. And so because of that, I went out. I was no longer covered. I was no longer engaged. But, yeah, people were still inviting me to come speak. People were still inviting me to come minister. You know, so I was doing that. But until I came across my husband's mentor, and he said, I need for you, I'm going to cover you as a watchman for a season. He said, but I need for you, whatever in speaking engagements that you have, he said, I need for you to cancel those. He said, I need for you to cancel those. Because what happens is, especially as prophets, we're going to prophesy from that wounded place. We're going to prophesy from that bitter place. And so what was happening, everywhere that I would go minister and speak, I was prophesying woundedness, and I was bleeding all over God's people because I wasn't healed and I wasn't delivered from what I had gone through in the church, and I wasn't healed and delivered from what I was going through in my marriage. Because while this was going on, we're still fighting, trying not to be, you know, to not have a divorce. And so when you do that, it's all, when they say that, it's all coming from a place of woundedness, and they need to be healed. Because as being a true prophet, and if you're really going to, you know, be truthful about the word of God, you understand order, and you understand that there is a submitted place. because the Bible says submit yourself unto the Lord and then the enemy will flee. And so as prophets, we'll find ourselves when we're renegades always in all kind of storms and all kind of issues and all kind of problems because we have not first submitted ourselves to the Lord. And as prophets, we have to understand that God is always going to send a man to process the hell out of you. That's the only way hell is going to get processed out of you is by the hand of man. That's the only way it's going to happen.
Good God Almighty. Amen. We on the phone. We on the line. We're broadcasting live with Prophetess LaTanya Smith, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. She's a marketplace prophet. She's a New Testament revelator. Amen. She's a fire flame spitting woman of God. Amen. She's a preaching prophet. Amen. A prophet preaching. Either way you want to mix it. Amen. 347-945-5416. As we say down south, have at it. Have at it. Amen. But okay, I got another question. And you know, this is just fresh. This is just something that as you was talking. What is it as a prophet? You go into an area, okay. Mm-hmm. It's an ungodly area. When I say it's an ungodly area, it's like you're around some individuals that they go to church, but they're not the church. They're not the sanctuary. They're not prepared as a sanctuary, and you're by it. I'm just painting a picture. This is not about anybody,
mm-hmm.
But I'm just painting a picture. And you're by individuals, and all of a sudden you feel that feeling like mosquitoes or gnats attacking you, but it's not nothing in here. If I can just make it, you know, to understandable. You being around some problem. I can't be in the room. I gotta go way on the other side of the room because it's just doing something to my spirit.
Uh-huh.
Can you translate that for people who don't know, who've been around? Okay. Like we got a caller.
All right.
Praise the Lord. You gotta excuse our ringtone. Amen. Caller, you're on the line with the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. We got Prophetess LaTanya Smith on the line. Caller, what's your name? State your question.
Yeah, my name is Sandra Burton from England. And I just wanted to ask Prophetess, at what point in her life that she felt that God was actually calling her to step out and to go in the path that she's in right now?
Well, greetings, Sandra Burton from England, and I would like to let everybody know here that Sandra Burton, she and I were actually ordained together as elders at the ministry where I was launched from. So we actually have a spirit connection. So I'm excited to hear her voice because she's a great businesswoman and actually is a prophet herself, and she's a seer. And so to answer your question, Sandra, I can honestly say I felt the urge that I really had to step out, I would say, in 2010. It was actually, Sandra, when I made a decision to resign from the church that we had been a part of together.
Okay.
It's almost like the shackles were released from me, and then I was able to move forward. Because even when I began to come under the GICMP mantle with Prophetess Dwan, who's my prophetic mentor, I would not have been able to reach out and take hold of what she had to offer if I would have stayed in the ministry, and I would have missed my window of opportunity to develop as a prophet and to actually and actually determine that I am launching out. And that's why I said earlier, it has to really be that pastors are willing to open themselves up to developing prophets or allowing them the opportunity to be developed. Because, see, that's the key thing about being a pastor. That's the key thing about being a coach or a mentor, whatever God has you in a leadership capacity. Because, see, anytime you're feeding people and people are sitting under you and the oil is running down, the fear is, and this is why a lot of times, you know, many pastors won't release or allow their flock to go out to be said by credible, I'm talking about credible, I'm not talking about, you know, this bootleg stuff, but to be said by credible agencies, is because we understand that the seed that I produce, that the seed that I birth is always going to be greater than me. It's always going to be double than me. So then it ends up where now even in Christendom where this envy and this jealousy thing has crept in, because I can't afford for this person to become greater than me. So it's almost really a level of intimidation. And so you're in a place where God separated you, took you back to England, so that now you could be developed internationally as an entrepreneur, but also to be developed internationally as a seer because of the level of influence that he's given you in the business realm.
Yeah, I think that is true, yes. Because I'm asking God to send me a mentor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, because I feel like I'm not being used fully in that capacity. Mm-hmm. For example, in the church that we're in, you know, it's like I'm holding back. I'm
mm-hmm.
holding back because certain things is not being done, you know. So, yeah.
And so even with that, so you have to begin to reach out and to seek that. That was something that I desire. And so even now, Minister Brown had my prophetic mentor on, I think, a few weeks ago, and she's actually, I think, Minister Brown, he probably knows a little better than I do because she's interviewed her, but she's launching MyPropheticDestiny.com where you can go online and sign up. She's getting ready to have like a power-packed week with some heavy hitters in the prophetic realm, and then from there she's going to do a full rollout for Global Institute of Church and Marketplace Prophets, where people like yourself, it's a global thing, can come in and be mentored and be a part of trainings and teachings on a monthly basis, prayer calls on a monthly basis, and to be activated, because the key thing is to be activated, but you have to be a part of a credible source.
Yeah, I believe that. I really do believe that, because a lot of people don't embrace prophets, but I believe God uses us as his mouthpiece, and we need to be connected to the right sources.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so we have to be connected to the right sources, especially as far as training, as far as our training is.
It's all about who births you out. It's all about who births you out. You know, you can't be under some mess where the anointing is no anointing there, or is it the right kind of anointing or the right kind of dimension. You know, so you got to be the right kind of dimension to birth you out to the fullness of what God has for you. But we thank you for calling woman of God.
Thank you very much.
Amen. And if any of that information, we have Prophet DeJuan. She has a Power Pack weekend coming up in September on the 28th. I believe it's Dr. Takeda Williams going to be down there. Juanita Bynum, they're ordaining their first royal prophets down there. Definitely go down to Jacksonville. Check them out. Amen. It's going to be a Power Pack weekend. So you can make it down to Jacksonville. Amen. You got a lot of people, amen, who will definitely help you and definitely lead you into the things of God. So good luck, woman of God. We don't do luck in the kingdom, but I wish you well.
Okay. Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
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 Good night. Bye.
Amen. 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. Now, Prophetess, we were just getting into it before we got into that call. We were talking about being in a particular place and what's the translation of when things are touching, you feel like things are touching you or
mm-hmm.
feel like 100 mosquitoes around. What is the translation of that for those who don't know?
The first thing that you have to understand, especially as being a prophet, is that we live consecrated lifestyles, and we live lifestyles that we continually fast, especially fast and pray. And so my family jokes with me all the time because they don't even know how I exist because I really don't eat much because I live such a fasted lifestyle. And so I have found for myself and the company of prophets that I am a part of as a team that generally as a prophet, God has already given me, he pretty much gives me insight to the environment that I'm going into before I get there. And then once I'm in that environment, even from the parking lot, I'm beginning to assess the environment that I'm in and even when I come into that place. So one thing is that, you know, pretty much that a prophet always has a word. And so when you come into anybody's house and anybody's environment, you always have a word. So in a nutshell, nothing as a prophet to a certain really should never catch you off guard because you should always have a word. And then if you feel that way, then that means that you have the power and the authority to shut whatever it is down because you have to stand and be as David. What is this uncircumcised Philistine who is coming against my God? So what is this uncircumcised Philistine who is coming against my anointing? And so you have to understand that it ain't no devil, ain't no witch, ain't no warlock, ain't no dust, ain't no witchcraft, no Santeria, no hoodoo, voodoo, whatever it is. It's going, a Jezebel spirit is going to come against my mantle. And so I'm not going to the other side of the room because if anything, you're going to go to the other side of the room or you're going to leave because I'm not moving my ground. You're not going to displace me. And so as a prophet, you have to have enough weight in your spirit to be able to displace whatever is in that environment. It's just like when you have a jar of water, and if you drop something heavy in that water, that what you drop in that water is going to displace that water until it spills over, and all of the impurities that are at the bottom of that water is going to come to the surface, and it's going to spill out. So I don't believe in, my spirit is vexed, I'm going to the other side of the room, I ain't going to preach there because they said this and they said that. Oh, them exactly the places that I want to go preach. The ones
that's the
where they, the ones that I'm going to. That's the ones I'm supposed to be at. I ain't got to go in there with nobody wearing no hats, no handkerchiefs, no ties, no nothing else. I want to go where they said that they got all kind of craziness and men. I want to go there. That's where I want to be. And so we have to learn, we have to pray about, we ask God to bless our ministries, we ask God, we want to be, you know, traveling wonders, but then when people call us and ask us to come speak, that's why I responded to you so quickly. I don't have to pray about what God already told me was in my assignment. You have to pray to stay more than pray to go.
Amen, 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 amen. 347-945-5416. We have a caller on the line. Amen. Go ahead, caller.
God bless you, Minister Faith Walker and Prophet. God bless you. This is Lady J.
Hey, Lady J.
I have a question. My question is because I'm in transition to come to Jacksonville to live because the Lord instructed me to be there. And
amen.
I just seem like,
I even talked
to my leaders. I even, you know, and let them know.
Say,
I've just been going through all kinds of warfare, you know, to get there. Not that it's nothing stopping me, but just in my own household. I just want a little wisdom on that because, you know, because I'm just saying I know how to pray. I know how to pray. But what I'm asking is there, you know, anything in particular that I can do, you know, as a woman of God to pray or to prepare for?
Transition is always a hard place. And one thing you have to understand about transition is a very messy place. And transition is a place that looks very chaotic, but even in transition, it's still very organized. And so the things that you have to look for is that most people think that when warfare comes, a lot of times we think that we don't discern if that's God halting us or if it's a level of warfare from the enemy. And so even with that, understanding that as even for your place of transition, think it not strange that you're in a place of transition even now because within a couple of weeks, we're coming into the Jewish calendar, the Jewish head of the year, which is 5774. So I believe it's September the 2nd through September the 4th through September the 6th, we're coming into Rosh Hashanah, which is the head of the year, the first of the year, the Jewish New Year. And so you're at a great time to be coming into transition and allowing God to really keenly speak to you about what he wants you to do, because understanding your life, ladies, y'all, that what the devil meant for bad, that God is turning it into good. Because just like I hear the Lord saying for you, Daniel 7, I think it's Daniel 7, where the enemy came to frustrate the Most High, the Most High God's people, where he came to frustrate them and even change their times and their seasons, because the enemy wants to shift your times and he wants to shift your seasons. And so with the warfare, he wants to cause you to back off. And so it's his warfare that's designed to shift your time and to shift your season, to keep you from being ushered in to where you need to be. But even now, I blow you into your prophetic place. I blow you into your prophetic Goshen and your prophetic destiny even right now. And I hear the Lord saying for you, Lady Jai, just as whatever you do, don't get off the boat. If you're going to make it to the other side, just like Paul did on a splinter, then just what you do. But whatever you do, don't get off the boat, because God says that he's with you. And so in this time of transition, you keep what you're doing, and this is a time of fasting and a time of prayer, especially for those like you who have been faithful and obedient and walking in consistency. But you're not going crazy. You're not going insane. You're right in the middle of God's will.
Amen. God bless you, woman of God.
My pleasure.
Amen. We thank you for calling, Lady J. Amen. Vice President of Marketing and Promotion of EMG.
Amen.
We bless her. Amen. Wonderful woman of God. Amen. Amen. So tell us, amen, about the prophetic cleanse.
Oh, wow. The prophetic cleanse is what God gave me. Like I told you earlier, I've been a nurse for, 19, 20 years now. And so I've always been on the reactive end of healthcare. I've always been, you know, I've been a correctional nurse. I've been a mental health nurse. I've been a nurse in the OR. So I've been many places as a nurse doing various different things. And right now I'm an oncology nurse for GYN Oncology, and that's women who come in with female cancers of the uterus, the ovaries, the vagina, whatever it is, whatever female, I deal with it in my department. And so the doctor that I worked for actually was the inspiration to me, because he told me, we sat down and I did an interview with him about a year ago, and he said, Latonya, he said over 75% of the illnesses that mankind has are preventable. Mm-hmm. And they can be cured by means other than medicine, other than going to the pharmacy and getting diabetic pills and high blood pressure pills. And so this began to take me on a journey of becoming a certified wellness coach to go along with my nursing experience. And once again, and even as we talk about a mantle and we talk about being submitted and not being a renegade prophet, it was actually Prophet Dwan that began to help me to put together, utilizing my experience to combine it with the prophetic to produce a product. And so we talked about that, and so I went ahead and I went to school for certified health coach. Didn't know it was such a beast or that it existed. And so I came across the prophetic cleanse, and what the prophetic cleanse really is about is marrying the spirit with the soul, with the mind, and with the body, because wellness is the totality of a being. And so we have to begin to understand that there's more to this Obamacare, there's more to wellness and all of this kind of stuff that we think about, because, see, all of this illness, all of this poverty, sickness, and disease, see, all of this is just the setup for the Antichrist to come in. All of this is just the setup for the 666, the mark of the beast, because guess what? If you're sick and you need some medicine, you're going to have to take the mark of the beast to get it. You will have to jump through all kind of beasts. So we have to come to a place where we have to deal with a different kind of insurance plan. And so I found, even with the prophetic cleanse, that The Christian community really didn't respond well to it at all. But the funny part about it, if I had said I was having a psychic cleanse, I would have had all kind of people calling me from the secular arena trying to figure out how much it was going to cost and would have paid whatever to tap into it. And so in the body of Christ, when I go preach everywhere, one thing was I go preaching, I was out of breath. And my husband said, you got to do something about that. He said, you can't get up there in front of those people and you trying to preach and you out of breath. So I had to fix that. I had to work on that. But then when I would look out from the pulpit, I would begin to see that over 50% of the people that I'm ministering to are overweight.
Obese.
And that's morbidly obese. And then now they come in the prayer lines and they want healing. Because, see, there are a lot of cancers that are generated by obesity. Uterine cancer is one of them. Breast cancer can potentially be one of them because fat has estrogen, and high levels of fat, produce high levels of estrogen. And so in my practice at the cancer center, I have seen two families, generations, wiped out because of uterine cancer related to obesity. And so when I go to churches and I begin to look at this and people want to come in the prayer line, and so we as Christians, we are strong in our beliefs in the wrong thing. We would rather go pay a copay to go to a physician or pay hundreds of dollars to go do copays for medications for diseases that we can prevent with food. But most of us want to still be able to have our collard greens with fat. We want to still have our fried pork chops and our fried chicken and just take a pill to fix it. That's the Christian mentality. And that's just really where we are. But understand that this Obamacare and this stuff going on with health care, that it is more serious. It's more spiritual than Christendom and kingdom wants to admit to it. And so when you look at the wealth of the kingdom, where's the wealth of the kingdom being laid up? The wealth of the kingdom is going in and out of the pharmacy, paying for drugs when God has already given us a divine health plan in his word. He's already done it. But it requires us to be disciplined enough to tap into it. And as Christians, discipline is a cuss word. We don't want to do that. We don't want to be disciplined to pray. We don't want to be disciplined to submit. We don't want to be disciplined to do anything.
Carla, if you're still on this line here, you need to either mute your calls or you're about to be terminated. Pastor Hill, do a roll call check. There will be no disrespecting of this prophet on this line at any given time while the word of God is being ministered. You are out of order. Okay. Amen. I know we got another caller on the line. Caller, you there?
Praise God, praise God. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
Oh, bless. All is well. Bless you even more from participating in this call. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Amen. The apostolic elder in the house. Amen. God bless you.
Oh, glory to God. Amen. I was sitting there and I had a question, and as you were going through that last phase, you almost... Yeah, you may have me repenting on this side, glory to God. I was repenting, glory to God.
Well, somebody else got to repent, too, for that red velvet cupcake they had last week, but I'm not going to tell you who that is.
I just went on a walk, and the man of God was stocking red velvet cake, and I told him, glory to God.
Grandma, you know I talked about you.
Oh, glory to God, man. Well, bless the Lord. My God.
It's
know,
not good.
One of the things, glory to God, you're saying, truly being a person that's obese myself, glory to God, I'm currently 456 pounds.
Okay.
I was once 470 pounds here at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
And my wife, you know, she's working with me. She's a big, health. Yeah, I would use the term fanatic, but she's balancing out the fanatic part of it now. You know, just blessing me and helping me a lot with it. And most importantly, just giving me the will and desire to live, to make a long story short. You know, me understanding what God has for me to do. I can't do it if I'm laying on my back in the hospital bed somewhere, or worse, in the ground somewhere. You know, so I received that. you know, and to be honest with you, sometimes the receiving doesn't come well, you know, when someone is cutting you, glory to God, to help you, amen. You know what I mean? So she's definitely truly doing that, and I just heard you say, you know, some profound things in that area, especially along with the fat, you know what I mean, and carrying the estrogen as far as being cancerous, and of course cancer being deadly. You know what I mean? And that convicted me even the more because I have that in my, I like to use the term have, I like to use the term had that in my family, glory to God, meaning that it stops here, amen. And so I definitely received that education in that area. But the question that I wanted to ask you, glory to God, I believe you were answering that, but I was moving about listening to the call, and I think I probably missed some of it. I think a young lady called from England or something like that. And she touched on the question. My wife, Evangelist Magwood, she walks in the prophetic. One of the big things that I have, you know, as a priest of my heart, I desire to see that gift bloom, glory to God. And one of the things that was the major hindrance, and I believe you touched it in your testimony, as being a part of the, you know, a part of our ministry, that's not mature in the area of teaching and guiding God in that. And to make a long story short, we in turn wound up leaving that ministry, and God placed us in another ministry that we currently operating in, and we are both ministers on staff there.
Amen.
But even in that, the gifts are still stagnated to the point, and you don't want to go to the point where you're church hopper trying to find this or find that, because I believe and I know that God sent me there, and I understand even the more the assignment that God sent me there for, and I realized that it was more towards grooming me in some areas than having me in that ministry. But my concern now, you know, again, I say as a priest in my house, is to see my wife groom her gift, and I know she truly walks in it. And glory to God. I think I heard you say something about some type of program or something. I don't know if you said it's being put together or it's already together.
Yes.
And if you did, can you expound on that for me a bit?
Absolutely, I can do that. And actually, my testimony is very similar to that. My husband and I were the ministry that we ended up leaving for over 10 years and were ordained as ministers and elders there. It was the same way. My husband was there for that period of time. He was the pastor's armor bearer. So, of course, he was being groomed. He was being accelerated, you know, and I was submitting under him and submitting under my pastor, which is a hard place for women to be, especially when you are a leader. And now you have all these different people that you have to submit to. Not only do I have to submit to my husband, but I have to submit to this pastor, and I have to find balance in that. And so my husband was blossoming and grooming, and we would go back and forth about, I'm leaving, I ain't going no more, and I'm staying. And so finally my husband, you know, he released me, and he was like, you know what, baby, you know what, you can go. He said, but find what you need so that you can do what you need to do, but right now it's not my season to go. But because I wanted to be submitted to my husband and I wanted to represent him well, I still stayed at that ministry with my husband because I was not going to have people saying that my husband did not know how to rule his house. So I stayed there. And so what began to happen, even after we left, my husband has always 100% been in my corner. Even when he was not going to church, and I was, because he was just so badly wounded, he always supported me. And so I think what happens in this season with you, man of God, where you're just like my husband, where you knew as the head of your house, the apostle of your house, that you're called to be in that place for that period of time to be groomed. But let me say this to you prophetically. Do not overstay yourself in that place, because if you do, I'm speaking to you as a prophet now, you're going to end up in a Saul David situation. Because understand this, even in your position, you can't see it and you don't understand it. Even the anointing that is on your life is so much greater than, and it's double. And so don't overstay your place too long. But what you need to do is what my husband did. He built me up as his woman of God, and he built me up as his prophet, and he put me in a place that whatever I needed to do financially or whatever to to be nurtured, he allowed me to do that without anything. And so, yes, I'm a part of Global Institute of Church and Marketplace Prophets under the founder of Dwan, Prophet Dwan Rollison, and her husband is Bishop Harold Rollison of the Worship Place.
Yes.
And yes, she's launching a she's rolling out the prophetic company on a larger level, and your wife can go to myprophetic.destiny.com. She can sign up there. There's going to be a very powerful it's an iConference, a very powerful iConference that's coming. I'm not going to release the names that are going to be there because I'm not sure she may not be ready to do that, but there's going to be some really heavy hitters in the realm of the prophetic that's going to be there. And from that point, she's going to be able to sign up as a part of the company of prophets, and we're going to be engaging those who want it twice a month with prophetic teachings, and she's going to be able to have the synergy of being around other prophets that think like she thinks and doesn't think that she's crazy and don't think she's hearing things and doesn't think that she's seeing things.
Because
my husband, he'll say, that girl right there is strange. She real strange. She real, that's my boo, but she real, she real strange. You know, they get up in the middle of the night, they don't eat, she eat grass all the time, all that kind of craziness. And so you have to be in a company in the comfort of people to understand that, and then you'll find that once she gets in that place, in that ebb of that prophetic covering, because see, being raised as a prophet and being raised as a preacher, as I was saying, is two different things. And so she'll get that prophetic covering, and then you'll begin to see, man of God, that the doors for her voice will begin to open. Because, see, you can't be connected to Prophetess Dwan. You can't be connected to me and nothing move and shift in your life. I don't believe that, because I'm crazy enough to believe God about it, because that's what it did for me, and it accelerated me. Coming in contact with GICMP, the company of prophets, it accelerated my time, and it redeemed my time, and I believe that it'll do the same for her as well.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
A blessed woman of God, I thank you.
Elder,
so
it's always a privilege. Amen.
Thank you for calling.
Amen. Well, Grandma, I guess it's the part of the program where I get my cut, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I just came off a consecration. I ain't gonna go into the length and everything.
Yay.
Came off a consecration, amen, and I was stretched. I'm not gonna lie, I was stretched. And Jeremiah 1:10 came, and then the Lord said that He was going to do a planting on Sunday, which He confirmed He did. And so now I'm just striving, because He sent me to a place that I was confused about at first, and I really didn't want to go. But as the longer I stayed there, I was like, okay, I get it. So now at this particular point in time, I'm just more about, it's like I have no problem trying to become a vegetarian, and you know, I used to eat everything on a pig. You know, now I done cut out the Lord done took beef away, done took the pork away, and now I'm just down to, you know, fish and stuff like that. So, you know, I know I'm shifting, but you know, I'm striving, Grandma.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. It's a lifestyle change. You know, do I like candy cakes in Jacksonville? Absolutely. Yes, I do. Every time I come to Jacksonville, you know, I have to have a candy cake or two. And so that's that. Now, you know, not to be dogmatic, you know, I don't want to be dogmatic about it, but it's just a challenge. As the man of God made a very very poignant point, is that, but we have to be in a place of health that we can minister to people.
I don't know
if you know what it's like to come into an arena and come into an environment and you have to minister for 3 or 4 hours. It takes stamina to be able to do that. And if you don't work out and you don't have good cardio and you don't you don't eat right and prepare yourself for that, you know, not only spiritually and mentally, but physically, it's a very, very hard task to do. Or what happens on the back end of that, it takes you a long time physically to recover, and the enemy causes so much backlash because of that, even in our physical man. So it's just a challenge to men and women of God that minister, you know, just, you know, start, you know, going for a speed walk, you know, 3 times a week. Get your heart rate up, you know, 3 to 4 times a week, and then they'll find that preaching and ministering is easier. But not only that, they become witnesses for the people that they minister to. They become Amen. Witnesses to the people that they minister to, and their testimonies become so much enlarged. You know, how powerful is that, you know, I was a diabetic, or I had high blood pressure, or I had something that people told me that I was going to have to take a pill for the rest of my life, but I adjusted my life and I adjusted my diet according to the word of the Lord. And I can stand here and say that I'm healed, because also what it does in your healing ministry, when people are coming to the altar, you also have that purity. You have a level of power to be able to release, because you have walked through that victory yourself.
Amen. 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 Well, this is the point where you can give out your information, amen, to the people of God who wish to get in contact with you. Phone line, I mean, everybody been trying to get at you, amen. So I guess it's only right that we give them a place that they can get it again, you know, get at you, man.
Amen.
So, amen.
Well, I have a website. It is simplylatonya.com. Simply Latonya, SimplyLatonya.com. You can call me at 1-888-908-7217, or they can email me at admin@simplylatonya.com. And of course, you can find me on Facebook under Simply Latonya Ministries or Latonya Smith, or either Jules Wellness Concepts. So I have a lot, you know, that God is really putting before me in assignments, and just putting a plug in there for Prophetess Dwan, for those of you who are interested in really seeing what seeing what prophetic covering can do. You can go to her website as well, which is prophetdwan.com. And even on my website, you can go and book a time where, if you're really interested in being covered as a prophet, or need to know, does this work for me? Am I a prophetic person? We can always do a like a meet and greet session with you for about 30 minutes and just see, you know, where you are and how would this work for you, and do that. But it is much needed to have trained prophets, because we're coming back to the time where we're confronting Jezebel, and we're confronting the prophet of Baal, and we're coming to a time where we are the prophets that must be able to call down fire from heaven. We are the prophets that must be able to tell the earth, the sky, not to yield rain, and to tell it when not to, and tell it when to yield rain. We must be the ones, the prophets, that can shift the atmospheres and not the atmosphere shift us. We must be the ones that can endure in this end time. And so as prophets, and the only way you're going to get that is to really be trained prophetically, and to be able to be submitted, not overruling the man of God that you submit, but this comes to complement the house. And any pastors on the line, it doesn't come to overrule what you say. It comes to enhance your ministry. It comes to empower your ministry, empower the flow, empower even your business ventures, even having a awesome prophet, a prophet that hears from God, not from the third eye, not from familiar spirits, but a true prophet of God will truly bless any house, because they're going to really tap into things that the pastor doesn't even know that's coming, or the pastor didn't even think that anybody knew. And so it's such a blessing to have a true prophet in any house. There needs to be a prophet in every house.
Amen. Amen. Shout out to Mama Prophet Dewan Holmes Rollison. Amen. Amen. Love that woman of God. Amen. And yes. Bishop Harold. Amen. Amen. Wonderful people of God, who God has given a mighty word in this season and time, as well as yourself. Amen. Y'all some awesome people. prophetess, you definitely have to come back. Definitely have to come back. Amen.
Amen. I so enjoyed it on tonight, and thank you so much for you, Minister Brown, and Lady Jay having me, and Prince Redeemed, all of you all, Pastor Hill, you all just embracing me, and thank you so much, and I hope people will, you know, I hope I act and behave decently so they'll, you know, keep coming to the Mental of God program.
You did fine, amen. You did fine. I kind of knew it was going to be something, amen. I already kind of knew, amen. Amen. That's why when you called Crossroad Temple, Prophet DeJuan would be like, you know who this is on the line? I'm like, nah, who that is? See, that Prophet of Time, I'm like, hey. I'm like, hey. Amen. But it's wonderful, amen, that you was able to join us. You definitely got to come back, amen, amen. You definitely got to come back, amen, because truly God has an awesome revelation through your vessel in this time and this season and the things that he's doing in your ministry. So I just bless God for people like you, amen. And just even as I heard you talk about the Antichrist and the spirits that's been released in the earth, just everything, you know, it's just confirmation of your assignment, that everything that God has for you, amen, and how you even spoke about those who are supposed to be greater that come after you, and then knowing that you've been mentored by Prophet DeJuan, and that you are able to be just released into the anointing that God has you walking in this time and in this present dispensation. It's just awesome. So I bless you, you know, serving Most High God and mouthpiece of our Lord and Savior. I bless you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you in Jesus' name for being on the mantle of God.
Amen. Thank you so much. So even now, Father God, we just bind up any backlash, Father God, that this team will receive because of what went forth on tonight. And even now, Father God, I just decree and I declare that, Lord God, that there are open doors, Father God, over this team, over this ministry, over Prince Redeemed, Lady J, Pastor Hill, and even Minister Brown, and everything that their hands touch, that, Lord God, that there shall be open doors. Lord God, even the contracts and the papers that are on the desk, even now, oh God, that they begin to service, Father God, and we consider it done. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. So even now, Father God, we clothe them, we wrap them, and we command the enemy to cough up everything that has been stolen for this man of God, Father God, over the last 5 to 6 years, Father God, and that even now that his time is accelerated and that his time is redeemed. And Lord God, I command, Lord God, that every naysayer that has been over the last 5 years, that, Lord God, that you show up and you show yourself mighty, Father God, within his life. And Lord God, that you command his enemies, Father God, to give into his bosom. And that, Lord God, that their footstools, Lord God, are being lined up, Father God, even now, Father God, in his place and in the valley, Father God. And surely he's going to eat, Father God, in the place, Lord God, of his enemies. And even now, Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for transition. But God, we know transition is of you, Father God. And we bless you, Father God, because you are worthy.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Prophetess, honor and privilege. Give your husband our love from the mantle of God. Amen. The man of God. Amen. Amen. This has been another show. Awesome anointing. If you need to go back in the archive, I suggest you do so. Listen to it again. The woman of God dropped some beautiful jewels by the anointing tonight. So go back into the archive. It's blogtalkradio.com/NathanOnTheSpot. Amen. Shout out to Pastor Hill. Amen. Our covering over this broadcast. Amen. We thank God for him. Amen. And all the work that he does and his woman of God. Amen. We thank them. Amen. We also thank Prophetess DeJuan. We also thank Prophetess Latanya and Bishop Harold Rollinson over there at the Global Institute of the Marketplace Prophets. Amen. We also thank y'all who are praying and laboring and diligently, and all those 3 a.m. prayer warriors and all those who are setting themselves apart for this shift in this season, amen. So I challenge you. You can't go into this next season doing the same old thing, same prayer life. God is calling people closer to him, and he wants more from us in this season. So God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. We'll be back here next week, same
amen.
Time, be empowered on the mantle of God. God bless you, and thank you one
God
more
bless.
Time.
I got a made up mind, yeah. I've been lied on, mistreated by my so-called friends. But if
I had another chance, I'd do it all again. It's in my heart. Oh yeah,
it's in my heart.
Got a dollar in my heart. To know I'm not doing this for shape, form, or fashion. I just want you to know it's down in my heart. The reason I'm here tonight, because it's in my heart. And I want you to know, I want you to know, Mama and Daddy, when I was a little boy, Mama and Daddy raised us up in the church. They didn't send us to Texas, they took us to church. Can I get a witness out there? And if we got to the church house and act like we didn't want to go in, Mama would catch me in the collar and she'd drug. Mama and Daddy drug us to church house. I wish I had a witness out there. Planted it in my heart.
My heart.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, Lord.
It's in my heart.
It's in my heart. Many times we didn't get paid, y'all, but I kept on singing anyway because I had it in my heart. Can I get a one a witness? Can I get a one a witness? Deep down in my heart, yeah. Wait a minute, I'm not through yet.
It's in my heart.
Y'all act like y'all don't know what we're doing up here. Come on.
It's in my heart.
Yeah.
It's in my heart.
If you got it.
No, Melvin. You know what? Somebody asked me just the other day. Say,
Harvey,
how can you shake a person's hand and you know they don't like you? I told him the reason I do it is in my heart. I got a phone call not too long ago. Somebody said,
Harvey,
how can you leave your family?
Look out.
And go sing all the time. I told him, I love my family.
Oh yeah.
I love my family.
Yes, I do.
I love my family.
Oh, my.
But the reason I do it,
the reason I do it.